Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday evening or Tuesday morning or whatever it is, wherever you are. Welcome to the show, Believe You Me, with myself, Michael Bisping, with Louis J. Gomez, and we got Brian and Harrington, I guess, floating around in the background. Also, big win of the weekend, Rackets joining us. We've got Michelle Watson, the karate hottie. She'll be making an appearance.
What a show.
Louis, quite the show planned. I haven't had a good night's sleep. I haven't eaten. I had surgery last week. I'm on opioids. I'm all over the place. I don't know what's going on, but still, we're churning out premium content week after week.
The commitment that we have to this show, because look, we did get a little rocky there. We were a little bit inconsistent for a couple weeks. Fucking sue us, okay? But I'll tell you right now, Michael Bisping just had a life-altering surgery, okay? But there's a chance he could have not even woken up from this surgery, okay? You might even not even have Michael Bisping. I'm in the biggest move of my entire life. I moved out of state after 20 years deep into New Jersey, all the way a half an hour into New Jersey from New York City.
Stop. I can't let you do this. Yes, I had a surgery. You've moved 20 minutes down the road, Louis. 20 minutes. That's it.
We're in the same boat.
Moving's a whole stressful thing. It is. But listen, you can't milk it over four shows or 4 weeks. You can't. You get one segment on the podcast on the difficulty of moving. That's your lot.
Podcast since I've moved. I'm in the new place right now. Michael Bisping had a little miniature surgery on his knee.
The last one you had Harrington there, the one before that, I'm so stressed out because I'm moving. The one before that, you're thinking about moving. Yeah, so we've heard, okay, Louis is in the suburbs.
Oh, this piece of shit. Do you remember the thinking about having surgery podcast we did a month and a half ago?
No, I just finished with it. Yes, and I did have the surgery. I did have the fucking surgery. What are you doing with your fake shitty plant behind you? Put some pictures on the wall, okay, right? Put some pictures on the wall. Next time, if you're going to do a podcast, I mean, look at this. This is how you dress the back of the place you went down to Home Depot, you spent 3.99 on that plant. Get rid of that plant. I don't want to look at it.
It took him 4 years to move his world title from his dining room 13 feet to the room next to his dining room.
I don't want to look at that plant. It's awful. It's plants. 90s. It screams 80s and 90s. You need some woman's touch in there. Okay.
No,
it needs zhuzhing up a little bit. I mean, what is going on? You've got leather on one side. You've got the plant on the other. There's no feng shui, right? There's yin and yang. It's hard and soft.
You don't even know what anything. You're naming buzzwords you've heard on Home and Garden.
I may be a subscriber to Home and Garden.
Dude, I do enjoy. Let me tell you something. Little guilty pleasure. I
HGTV.
Do enjoy some HGTV, some fucking, what do they call it? What's the show where they
renovation restoration?
I don't give a shit about the renovations. I like where they buy a new house. They get three houses. House Hunters.
Yeah. Well, now you've stepped on. Now you've put the big boy pants on. Now you're not a homeowner, but you've actually rented a home. Then, you will find yourself enjoying these kind of programs. They're good, especially when you buy a house. And then when you watch those shows and then you see, you know, when they do it up, they give it a lick of paint. They put some new skirting boards on. Maybe give the fucking kitchen a little coat of paint, some new tiles. All of a sudden, the house is worth an extra $150,000. You do find yourself scratching yourself going, oh, okay, we'll give this a try.
Yeah, dude, I don't do any of that shit. I still don't even have curtains in my house, but I have set up a home gym. everyone in my family's furious at me. They're like, you don't have fucking curtains and you've been spending 2 days just straight putting pads down, doing everything. It's been my, I've never done any sort of home project or anything like that in my life. So
yeah, no, I did see that all over Instagram, all over the Fire Journal, all over any kind of social media that Lewis can get his hands on. It's going on about the gym. I'm like, bro, this is just, you're trying to build a home for your family, for your son, for little James. Forget the gym. You have your priorities incorrect, in the incorrect order. The gym, there's a little luxury. You do that at the end. You know what I mean? You get baby James's bedroom set up first. You know, you get him all his accoutrement. You get him feeling good. You're feeling nice. You get the toys. You know, you get his bedroom set up. You paint it. You James, here's your new room. But no, the focus, the selfishness of the guy is all on the gym. This dusty, scary, horrible gym where the clinking and the clanking goes on. He doesn't want to go in there, buddy.
First of all, you're 100% right. His bed frame wasn't even set up until yesterday. I'm a garbage individual. I set up the trampoline and the home gym before anything was set up in the house. This is why you're a better person than I am. But you also have a woman in your life that would sort of keep you in line. That's the thing. Your wife, you don't give her enough credit.
You can't say that. You can't say that when my lips are sealed. So fuck you. You can't do that. you can't do that. Anyway, we'll leave that one there before we start arguing. You're a great dad, and the Fight Journal's awesome. Jim looks good though. Jim does look good. Fucking knee replacement last week. In a lot of pain. Since Tuesday, I had to take a lot of pain medication, obviously, and the side effects of that, Lewis. I don't know how long. The longest is that you've gone without eating or taking a dump. But the taking a dump, I'm on a week. Well, no, it's 6 days. 6 days, there's been no movements. And the eating, I've not eaten much. Rebecca's been doing a lot of juices, God bless her. A lot of turmeric, a lot of, just a lot of natural juices for inflammation. You know, so she's been doing that. I've been on an all juice diet. You would think I'd lose a lot of weight, but no, I'm getting heavier on the scale. But I think that's because I'm backed up at the other end. What goes in must come out. But right now, it's just going in.
Is
lots
it
of it.
The opioids are making you constipated?
I prefer to use the term pain medication. But
drugs that you're addicted to were making you not shit?
No, I haven't taken any today for the obvious reason. Number one, I got to do a podcast. I'm like, oh God. Because I tell you what, I took some much, much, much lesser assistance. We're going to now call it. I took some much less assistance this morning and we pre-taped the interview with Alexander Rakic. Obviously, he's back home in Austria now. To do it at this time, it would have been like 1-2 o'clock in the morning, too late. So we pre-taped it. And when I woke up this morning, normally I take one of the strong daddies, you know, because it's fucking the start of the day, right? It's a slow release pill. I'm like, I can't do that. So I took one of the less, you know, potent, shall we say. One of the little gay ones. But anyway, but as I'm there and I'm on doing the interview, even that one, I was spacing out halfway through it. I lost track of what I was saying a couple of times. So apologies to Alexander if you picked up on that. And also apologies going forward if I do space out and forget exactly what I'm talking about. But I do believe that I'm not the only one with a terrible affliction right now.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were just talking about me spacing out. I was like, come on, dude, it doesn't happen that often.
No, look at Brian. Look at the face on him. Look at Brian. My God, here's a man in pain. Listen, Lewis, I know you're moving. I know you got the Fight Journal, but I check in on the welfare of your employees. Have you even reached out to Brian and asked him what the issue is?
Yeah, I personally reached out to him. I'm a good friend and employer. I bet you didn't even send a personalized message asking how he was doing. I bet you Bisping send a personalized message, Brian, or was it just a little group message?
No, you guys actually both hit me up.
Damn it. Fuck you, Brian.
And I'm not even in his employer. I don't know where he lives. I haven't got any of his bank details. I don't pay him. You've got way more information, but we're still on an even keel. That's not good for you, Lewis.
We're not, because I take mine back. I hope it gets worse, Brian.
It probably will. Fair enough.
Well, that's really funny. It's not a laughing matter. Brian, what's going on? So you've got a hernia. You're waiting for surgery. They can't do surgery. Scale of 1 to 10. How's the pain? Bloody, bloody, blah. What's going on with you, bud?
I don't know. Like probably like a 6 all the time. Feels like I got stabbed. There's like a bocce ball coming out of my stomach right now. Everybody would be awful. But it's bad news.
I don't even know what a hernia is.
So do you want to explain?
Sure. It's my guts trying to escape my body. Like
it's based. No, that I think I can give a slightly more technical breakdown. It's where the muscle penetrates the wall of the skin. Right? Am I correct there, Harry? Brian?
So my stomach is coming out of my muscle.
Yeah.
So like my actual stomach is folded over into my stomach muscle.
Oh my God! How does it happen? Is there any reason for it?
I got stabbed with a broomstick handle a bunch of years ago, and it kind of popped a hole in my muscle. So I've had a little hernia for a really long time.
I'm just gonna throw it out there. That's definitely the cause. You're like, is there something that maybe led to this? You're like, I don't know. I mean, there was that one time I was stabbed by a broomstick handle in the exact precise location.
Like, I didn't get stabbed, but I did get pinned to the wall.
Why? What happened? Who pinned you to the wall with a broomstick, and how'd that happen?
There was a big ass. We were kids. There was a big ass fight on Halloween.
A witch pushed you against the wall with her broomstick.
No. Some dude pulled it out from behind a dumpster. It was pretty crazy. There was like 100 people there.
We wish you the best, Brian. We really do. So we got that in common. We're both, you know. See, here's what I do, Lewis, as well. I, you know, if he's in pain, I'm in pain. If Harrington's in pain, I'm in pain. That's what we do. Harrington, are you in pain?
Like, I was homeless for a year. It was rough.
Oh God, change the record.
And whatever. Jesus, who cares? Christ. Who the fuck wasn't homeless, dude? Welcome to trying to be great.
I lived in a car. Do you hear me talking about it, writing about it in my book all the time? No.
Do you hear me talking about it ever?
How are you, Harrington? How you doing, buddy?
Dude, I'm doing great, Mike. Happy to see you guys.
Yeah. We're going to use you in just a second.
Mr. Bisping, we should take a quick moment and thank DraftKings, which is an incredible sponsor for the show. DraftKings is really fun. Fantasy MMA at its finest, really, really a great way to enjoy the fights. MMA is the most exciting sport in the world. Now imagine you have skin in the game. Imagine you are betting on the winners and losers and the ways they win with this incredible DraftKings Fantasy MMA way to play.
Yeah, absolutely. If you haven't tried it yet, Fantasy MMA is easy to play. All you got to do, pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, pile up the points for advances, takedowns, and more. And there's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than compete for a share of $1 million with DraftKings, because nothing makes a UFC event more exciting than when you have skin in the game. All you got to do, go to the DraftKings app now and use the promo code BYM, and you'll get a free shot at your share of $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's promo code BYM to get a free shot at a share of $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings, minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, where were we? Yeah, obviously I had the surgery last week, and I put a little post on Instagram. We talked about this. We watched Back to the Future with both of our sons recently. Great movie. Tried watching it with Lucas once before, wasn't interested. This time, a little bit older, a little bit more mature. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And he doesn't snuggle into me much, but we've really bonded lately. Anyway, so he snuggles in. I've got my arm around him. We're just watching Back to the Future. And Rebecca walks by, and she's like, oh, that's a cute picture. She snaps a little picture. There it is. Look at that. You got the sick bucket by the side of me. That was used a lot. Me being the dad of the year. There we go. You got the CBD and freeze in the background. If you look right at the back on Rebecca's side, there's the CBD and freeze. Just proves that we do
even
use it.
In your moments with your child, you have to be fucking chilling. Holy shit.
That is not product placement. That is how we live our life. Okay, anyway.
Right behind us, you got a bucket of Blue Chew. Then right over there.
Blue Chew, don't say that, because it's certainly where I'm going with this. because that's a beautiful. Rebecca sent me the picture. I said, oh, send me that pic. And I looked at it. I thought, oh, what a cute pic. And I'm his father. And I like a picture of me and him cuddling together there. So I put it on Instagram, you know, as you do. And I would 99.999. I got to say, a lot of comments, like 2,500, 3,000 comments on there. So thank you, everybody. And 99.9% of them, or 99.5, were nice, healthy, positive remarks. But then some people out there, calling me a pedophile, saying, take this post down. What is wrong with you? Call the authorities. That child needs protected. All kinds of stuff. And I just went through a blocking rampage. Anyone that said anything like that, I just blocked them. But what the fuck is wrong with this world?
Let me ask you a question. Were they saying you were a pedophile because you were holding your son that way, or because you were posting the picture in his underwear for essentially other pedophiles to see?
Well, I see what you're doing now. You're inferring judgment into the question. You're trying to say, Michael, basically what you did, you posted a picture of your son in his underpants while you're also in your underpants, embracing in such a way that could have been interpreted as sexual. The more I talk about this, the more I'm going to delete this post as soon as this Instagram podcast is over.
Well, I have a fetish personally with a father and a son. That's my thing. So I saw that immediately and I'm like, wow, that is hot. But do you get I'm saying? Like, so here's the thing, right? So you did nothing wrong. You're innocent as shit.
I've done a little bit of acting now. I am clearly in the elite Hollywood pedophile ring. Obviously. You know, Tom Cruise is our leader. He's my guy. Okay. He's my guy.
Well, here's the thing. Yes, I agree with you. First of all, if you see anything but a father and a son fucking bonding, you have a sickness. Like, if you see anything there, you have to look in the fucking mirror and go, what is wrong with the way that I'm looking at the world? It's like some people see like an old lady, some people see a young lady with a necklace, one of those magic eye things. Well, that you're seeing something fucked up because your mind is probably a little bit depraved. Because I saw that picture, I liked it. I literally remember seeing the picture and be like, and I might have even commented on it, but not once in my head for a second did I think anything weird. Now, I will say there's an argument here where there are sick fucks out there. You're very famous. So you posting a picture with your kid, even in like a bathing suit, it's almost like, you know, you have to consider the fact that there are sick fucks in the world, and you'll see comments.
No. You can't live your life like that though. If they want to see an image of a child in a pair of underpants, or they want to see a child in a bathing suit, they can, if you are a sick fuck pedophile, you can just go down to the beach. You go to a swimming pool. You can go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? If you want to come on my Instagram and you want to see a picture of me shirtless or my son shirtless while we're watching a movie, then guess what? It's your lucky fucking day, because I ain't fucking changing. And all you sick fucks that look at that and see that, you're the person that has the issue. If you look at that and you see an issue, then you are the one that has an issue. And you're the one that maybe needs to stay away from children. That's what I will say there. Fuck me, man.
Yeah. It's fucking... It's a weird world. I mean, my problem is I also live in a different world. You have like, you're so great with like your family and you post pictures. And for the most part, I don't really see too much fuckery. Once in a while, you see people making stupid comments. But I think I live in a different world because I do comedy and we do really fucked up comedy. Sometimes people make comments all the time with my son where I have to then in turn explain that to his mom, his aunt, his uncle, cousins, and they don't work in the world of comedy. Yeah. So they don't get the jokes at all. They're like, and I know they're joking for the most part. They're fans. They're trying to be fucked up. They're trying to be edgy or whatever it is. But it's a weird line that you have to sort of walk sometimes when you start getting a fan base.
Yeah, but when you see a pattern, because obviously to block somebody on Instagram, here's my new thing on Twitter as well. You might, if you found yourself recently blocked on Twitter or Instagram, or I'm on a fucking blocking mission. The only problem is blocking people is a few too many steps. I blocked hundreds, if not thousands at the weekend. The problem is you got to click on their profile. Then you got to click on the three buttons thing, the three
on Instagram.
Yeah. And then it comes up with the options. Then you got to click block. Then you got to confirm block. Then it says, and then it's dismissed. So it's like four or five clicking.
Too many steps.
But I'm telling you, that's what I do now. If I see one thing, if I see anything even remotely negative, I just go, fuck you, blocked. Because I don't need you in my life. Simple as that. But anyway, when you start taking those steps and you click on their profile, same thing. You see a very, very similar pattern. Either a restricted account, zero posts, hardly any followers. So they're just troll accounts for dickheads to come on, literally just to talk shit and insult people. And if you're out there making troll false secondary accounts and doing that just to spread negativity and hate, I mean, come on, get a hold of yourself.
I don't even like blocking them. I'll tell you why.
I know you've said that, but I'm not interested in it. I don't want to see their comments.
Can I tell you why? because I feel like they make these troll accounts and they want to know that they can make somebody famous or that they follow or that they know from whatever. They want to see if they can make them move in whatever way. And they go, oh, cool. I got to affect them. They pressed five buttons because of me. I actually made them put in that effort, and they make another troll account and another one and another one.
Yeah, but hey, let me tell you, if you want to talk about the fucking inconvenience of going deep, 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 it's a lot more inconvenience to go fucking sign up and get yourself a new email address, put in a fucking fake email address and get an Instagram account. That's a lot more steps. And let me tell you, you'd be a lot better if you just harness the good energy, block the bad. Block the bad, Lewis. I've been telling you all the time. You have to block the bad energy, Lewis. What is wrong with you?
I like your deep, deep, deep. It's like you're doing your Indian impression.
What is deep, deep, deep?
You went deep, 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 deep.
Oh, no, I wasn't doing an Indian impression. As we know, it's not just me that gets called a pedophile. Everyone's a pedophile these days. It's a trendy thing to call somebody. I think it was Tom Brady, famously, just recently. He kissed his son on the lips and they had a little, not a smooch. It was a very innocent kiss, but he got a lot of backlash for that. Harrington, I believe you've been compiling a list of sorts.
Do you kiss your son on the mouth?
If he'll give me one. Yeah, and it's just a very quick, very, very well,
obviously
tight.
Not a fucking romantic long one.
Yeah, I'm not making out with him around the back of the fucking barbecue. You know, Lucas, here's $5.
Oh, I'm talking about Callum.
Callum, here's $5. Meet me in the garage. We're going for a workout. No, whoa, I don't like this job. Let's move on. But Harrington, you've been compiling a list of would-be pedos.
Right, so I think there is a thing, like you were saying, with Tom Brady to the TB12 thing. Like he had a thing where he was kissing his son, and I think it was just that his son was like 10 or 12 years old. This is him when he was much younger. Obviously, that's a pretty common example everybody knows about.
Well, he
now.
Did do the weird pull up his chin, like he's giving a romantic kiss. He's like, hey,
yeah,
babe.
But he's trying to get to the target zone. You know what I mean? He's going to kiss his nose. Kid's snot. If you want to give him a kiss, you want him to land in the right place. You just, here, buddy, you're just off kilter there. Let me help you out. But there's nothing wrong with that. Rebecca, anything wrong with Tom Brady kissing his 10-year-old son? No. All right. What else you got?
Good talk.
Hey, dog. Good. Okay. Yeah. Good talk. Good talk.
David Beckham and Posh Spice, both, obviously a power couple, both known for being very affectionate with their children, dating back to a young age, obviously. That was the
that's just cute. Anybody who sees anything but cute, like, what do you want me to say?
Yeah. Harrington, is that, like, to back up the story of David Beckham possibly being slightly inappropriate? By the way, none of these people are inappropriate, but we're having a bit of fun. We're having a laugh, right? Is that the best you've got? He's kissing his baby. I swear to God, when Ellie was younger, when my kids were old, I couldn't stop kissing them. You just look at their faces. And you're
it's
like,
why
oh my
you
God.
Have sweet fucking children. If you're not kissing and hugging your children, they're probably going to turn out being assholes. You should be kissing, hugging, loving, and showing affection to your children nonstop so they grow up as loving, good-natured people. It's the difference between good and bad in people we're talking about right now.
Harrington, we're going to give you one final chance to redeem yourself. What have you got?
Harrington was not hugged and kissed as a baby. I'm telling
definitely
you.
Right not. Definitely Jesus. Not.
All right, so I have one that is odd by, I think, any standard. Wiz Khalifa, I think it was at the Golden Globes, took his mom as his date, and they I guess never grew out of that phase.
Well, let's take a look. What the fuck
is wrong with people?
I mean, that's like one of those weird little, like, Hollywood-y, like, air kisses on the cheek. Do you know what I mean? They are only just about making contact. And where is it? Where are they? The Emmys or something?
The Golden Globes.
They're at the Golden Globes. It's a big event, right? She's super proud of her son. He's very proud of himself. He's proud that he's got his mother there. She's probably dripped head to toe in $30,000 worth of clothes and jewels and everything that he's paid for. And they share a very touching, intimate moment. And Mike Harrington puts the pedophile label on him. Wow.
You're asking me to do the research here. I agree with you. I look at it.
No. You think Wiz Khalifa's a fucking pedophile. Somehow. It has nothing to do with pedophilia.
And only Daniel Cormier gets to say, I agree with you, Mike. Okay. Listen, we thought we'd have a bit of fun with that one.
All right. Is there an age, obviously there is, where you stop kissing your son on the lips? Like, you don't kiss Callum on the lips anymore, do you?
No. Yeah, right. Okay. Number one, you think he'd let me do it. He'd double leg me to the other side of the room if I attempted. Secondly, I don't want to kiss him on the lips. And I don't kiss Lucas on the lips very often. You know what I mean? Just like sometimes late at night, it might just happen naturally. Yes. Yeah. 19-year-old Callum, spotty, zitty, training, sweaty, muscly, covered in musk from the wrestling room.
Well, now he's sounding hot.
I'm like, okay, kind of want to kiss now.
I don't know. He's manly. He smells like a man. I think there's an age. I remember my friend John, when we were growing up in middle school, his dad would still kiss him on the lips. And I remember I also didn't grow up with a father, so I didn't have the experience of ever kissing a man on the lips. That was sort of weird to me until I had a kid, I think, maybe. But I remember thinking it was a little weird, and he was a little bit old to be giving, like, he had facial hair and his dad had facial hair, and they just gave each other a kiss, and it was a little bit bizarre. But my son the other day kissed me, just leaned in and said, Dad, give me a kiss. Mwah. Kissed me right on the lips. It was adorable.
Yeah, whenever the son and the father both have facial hair, that's time to call the authorities, okay? You don't want to see grown men and then one of them in the relationship is the father. No. There's something weird going on there. But still, we'll leave that conversation there. At the weekend, though, I think it was last week, actually, we had the tragic news that Chadwick Boseman, obviously the actor from Black Panther. Now, I'm not some crazy Chadwick Boseman fan. I don't know if you were. I'm not a massive Black Panther fan, but there was something I wanted to discuss about his passing. How did you feel? I mean, are you a big Black? Did you enjoy the movie, Lewis?
I thought it was good. I mean, I didn't love it the way that everybody else loved it, but I, you know, there is, you know, it's different, right? And it really is. And we grew up in a generation where we didn't see Black people portraying superheroes. It just didn't happen. I don't know that it was this conspiracy to try to keep Black people down. It just wasn't what Hollywood was really portraying. And, you know, my son's darker than me. My son looks very much Puerto Rican, looks very Hispanic. You have that movie, you have the new Spider-Man movie. The fact that my son gets to, you know, look on screen and see people of color that are in those positions, you know, it's rewarding. And I know that he sees it differently. And I know that he looks at, you know, these characters differently. So the implication and how important that was to a bunch of this next generation of kids, yeah, to, you know, that it's really sad. And I think that's why it's become such a big, because actors die all the time, but it really is a sad, sad thing to watch a guy so young that seemingly.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm not coming in from the color perspective, no doubt, 100%. I fully accept that and I fully hear that. And of course, you know, it's long overdue that, you know, because obviously when you grow up as a child, you want to be Superman, you want to be Spider-Man and all the rest of it. And now obviously for young Black children, they look and they get to see somebody on the screen portraying them and they can actually think, wow, that could be me one day. But the thing that really struck me, and of course, you know, listen, he passed away and that's very, very sad and very tragic. And my condolences and thoughts go out to his family and his friends and all that type of stuff. It's tragic. But they will bring in another Black Panther. So the young children will have someone else to aspire to. You know, right. It's a huge franchise now. Spider-Man, they've been through so many different Spider-Mans. So it's not like, oh, that's it, he's dead. There's never going to be a Black superhero again. There will be, and rightly so. But the thing that really touched me is when I started reading an article about him, and he was actually diagnosed with cancer back in 2016, right? And it gave me a lot of inspiration because I just had my knee done. I had my other knee done last year. And I was kind of like, you know, well, I've done some good things in my life. Hopefully I still could do some movies. I do this and that. I'm working on some businesses. I've got plenty of endeavors going on, but like I became champion of the world and stuff. I'm like, no, I'm not done yet. I'm only 40 fucking 1 years old. As soon as this knee, like today's the first day of the rest of my life. Michael Bisping 2.0 starts today. That's why I'm suffering in pain right now. Not really on the medication. I'm going to try and not drink because I'm 41 years old. That's still a very, very young man. Chadwick Boseman was diagnosed with cancer in 2016, but for the last 4 years of his life, continued to work his fucking ass off, make movie after movie after movie. No doubt at the time when he found out about his cancer, he had money in the bank. I mean, Brian, just bring up his IMDb page, please. He had money in the bank, you know, and he could have sat on his laurels. I mean, look at this. Go back down. So there's 16. 2016 did Gods of Egypt, Captain America, Message for the King, Marshall, Black Panther. Go up a bit. Scroll down. I can't see the top of it, Brian. Black Panther, Avengers Endgame, 21 Bridges, The Five Bloods, and Miss Rainey's Black Bottom. My Rainey's Black Bottom, and then Yasuke. Anyway, look at that. So, one, two, I don't know, like 10 movies, something like that. That's a lot of time, Lewis. That's a lot of time to be away. But my point is, for him to still have such a relentless work schedule whilst fighting cancer and whilst knowing from the doctors there's a possibility that I'm not going to win this fight and I'm going to die, but still to not feel sorry for himself and still go to fucking work and go through that kind of schedule, I got to say, I mean, fair fucking play to that guy and anyone out there that is, feels like they can't go on. And they're giving up in life and then like, oh, well, that's it. My time in the sunshine's over. No, fuck that. Tomorrow's another day. You can always, you know, even myself, I achieved my goal. I achieved my dream. Well, now I'm starting on a fucking second dream because I still got fucking hopefully another 50 years of my life left to live. And there was Chadwick Boseman with a death sentence, still going out there and killing it and crushing it. So anyone at home feeling sorry for themselves, that's too fat, that's a little bit broke, that's out of work, fuck that, man. Things can turn around. Things can get better. I mean, if Chadwick Boseman's doing all those fucking movies whilst he was dying of cancer does not give you inspiration, I don't know what will.
Yeah, it's the whole thing, you know, it's very sad. Being so young, scary as well, because like he has, you know, the seemingly the money. I mean, you know, he's a fucking Marvel superhero. I mean, got to be worth millions and millions of dollars. Isn't that the other scary side of it as well, where it's almost like, you're right, Mike?
Oh, yeah. No, just ignore me when I pull those funny faces down again. I just had to adjust the positioning of my leg. It's very painful. Just ignore me.
Sounds like my opinions are paining you.
No. Just for the people looking at home, I did this. I'm adjusting in my chair. I need to come for your chair in future because this is, it's hard. It's stylish, but it's hard. It's not designed for painful legs. Carry on.
Yeah, but... you know, a guy who is a celebrity, very fit as well, martial artist, really in great shape, has millions of dollars. And then, you know, I have no idea what his lifestyle was like. I don't know that he was completely the, you know, picture perfect health, but, you know, it seems somewhat random sometimes with cancer. And you don't know. I mean, what I take from that is just fucking, you know, live, do the things you want to do, you know, because who knows, one day, you know, it doesn't matter. You could be on top of the world. You could be a movie star. You could be good looking, in shape. And then all of a sudden you're just, you know, it's over. So, and I'm assuming that's why he probably worked so hard after being diagnosed. Cause I would probably do the same thing. I think I just, you know, I would want to leave my loved ones behind something, you know, especially if I was dying, right? I would go, I want to leave them as big of a nut as possible, give them as much as possible. He didn't have any kids, but I know he was married. You know, I'm sure he has family members. I'm sure he has sisters, brothers, mothers, whatever. So I'm sure in his mind, he was like, well, if I'm going to fucking die and fight this, I want to make sure that I have as much to leave behind for my family and loved ones as possible.
Of course.
So that's also super inspirational because it's selfless, you know, it really is just, you know, it's a sad thing.
Of course it's selfless because at some point he would have been told. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, Mr. Boseman, you know, the news isn't good. You know, this is terminal. But he still continued. And he kept it to himself as well. He kept it, much like myself, with the knee pain. I don't like to talk about it. I don't. I suffer in silence. I do not talk about my ailments. But still, you know, I really like respect. I actually have that in common with the Black Panther. Okay, he kept it to himself. I kept it to myself. That's what we do. Real men, superheroes, Lewis, we suffer in silence.
I suffer in silence.
We do.
It's fucked up.
All right, support for Believe You Me is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology and developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Here's the fact. Here's the details. Your hair grows. Then you need to cut the hair. You need to trim the hair. You're not going to go attack it with a pair of scissors. Certainly not with one eye and no depth perception.
I used to ask my barber. I used to say, sir, can you please take care of that for me? He's an old Italian guy. He wouldn't do it.
A little inappropriate, but whatever. You've moved into New Jersey. Your new local barber? Don't ask him that. Just saying that, just throwing that out there. Here's the thing. You might have heard of Lawnmower. You've heard of the Lawnmower 2.0. Well, we're here to tell you about the 3.0. Yes, the engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and released their new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. The third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce manscaping accidents. Millions of balls are about to be nicked free. Thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology, Lewis.
And every guy has been there before. Every guy has gone downstairs, whether using a Bic or a trimmer or hair clippers or whatever it is, and you've made the mistake, you weren't paying attention, and you nicked your junk, okay? It is the worst. It is the worst feeling. It hurts. You think about it nonstop. You have to explain it to your wife or girlfriend, be like, oh, yeah, I have no idea what that sore down there is. Guess what? It doesn't happen with Manscaped. I do not have fine motor skills with my hands. I do it sometimes in the dark. They actually have an LED light on it if in case they you want to do it in the dark. I know.
Oh, you want to get into technical specifications? All right, well, let me start. Water resistant, allowing you to groom inside the shower. One of the cool features is the LED light, which illuminates the grooming area for you. With
why did you start doing a German accent when you mentioned the showers? Know. That was very strange.
I don't know. And here's a really good one for all you guys that like shows like Mythbusters and stuff like that. They've also upgraded their RPMs to 7,000 RPM with their quiet stroke technology. Therefore, when you're stroking, when you're trimming the balls, when the testicles are going to be groomed, there will be no noise for the rest of the house. You do this in silence, Lewis.
Yeah, well, it's a very light hum. It's like you have to literally shut everything down in the house. You have to tell everyone to be quiet, all the neighbors to be quiet. And you hear just like a...
Yes. Yeah, at the end of the day, listen, trust me, this thing will blow your mind. If you've never used a Manscaped before, this is revolutionary. It will, seriously, it's going to completely transform your hygiene regimen. Makes it so easy, so quick, so stress-free, and of course, injury and pain-free because it's very easy to use. And it does stand by what it says. It does truly work. It does not nick your balls. And of course, we're now on 3.0. Manscaped, the first one was great. The 2.0 was an improvement. Now here we are with the third iteration, day of the word, third iteration of Manscaped. So give it a try. You will not be disappointed. All you got to do is go to manscaped.com and use the code BISPING, B-I-S-P-I-N-G. That's manscaped.com. Use the code BISPING. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com only when you use the code BISPING. All right. Where were we?
All right, look, we should switch gears here for a second. And do we want to go to Rackage before we...
No, let's just talk about the fight real quick. Obviously, at the weekend, the main event was Alexander Rackage versus Anthony Smith. Big fight for the light heavyweight division. Title ramifications in the future, of course. Tough one for Anthony Smith. He was coming off a loss to Glover Teixeira. Unfortunately, another loss came his way on Saturday night. Smith was looking to, you know, get a big win here and put himself back into title contention, as he told us. Unfortunately, you know, two people come into there, two big guys, strong guys. And Rakic had the same kind of game plan. He's like, no, I'm going to beat you and catapult myself into stardom, into the title shot. And there can only be one victor. That was, of course, Alexander Rakic. The fight started. And when the fight started, it was clear that Rakic was the bigger man. I think they're both listed at 6'4", but Rakic looks much, much bigger. He looked stronger as well in the clinch. I remember a couple of times he just kind of forced him down. And I know that afterwards Smith talked about the fact that maybe, you know, he needs to change a weight class, but 185 is too big. 205 is a little too small. You know, 155 and 170, they're talking about bringing in another weight class. Well, Dana's not, but a lot of people are campaigning.
Yeah.
155 to 170 is 15 pounds. They want to slide in another weight class. 65 to 70, that's 5 fucking pounds. And 185 to 205, that was my world. That was a drop I had. And I always thought to myself, fuck me. No, if anywhere there needs to be another weight class, they should bring it in at 195. It should go 185, 95, 205. Anyway, however, can't take away from what Rakic did. He went out there, first round landed some heavy, heavy leg kicks. And it looked like it was going to be over pretty quickly because Smith hit the canvas pretty hard, Lewis.
Yeah, I felt bad for Anthony Smith. Obviously, friend of the show. Both these guys have been on the show multiple times, which is a weird position to be in. You've talked about it many times where you're like, you don't want to make a pick. You don't want to offend somebody. But I really like Anthony Smith. Really, really intelligent guy. And he was saying that after the fight. And he was like, look, I don't want to make excuses. And I'm not one to sit here and you know, complain about the weight classes. But it is something that I, you know, would benefit me. Yeah, dude, he just lost. He didn't look as strong. He didn't look as explosive. You know, Rakic obviously set himself up right now to be
talks. Well, obviously the first round he went down and kept him down. And then he played in his guard, half guard, side control for a minute or two here and there, or a second or two. But predominantly guard and half guard, did a really good job of controlling him. Referee was thinking about standing him up on occasion. Then Rakic, you know, he was playing the game right. You know, of course, because I asked him in the interview, and we're going to hear from him in just a second. You know, but I asked him, I said, hey, did you ever think about stepping back up? Because a lot of people might have thought by staying on the ground for as long as you did, that's playing into the advantage of Anthony Smith. He kind of wants you there. He told us the game plan is if he can get him down and try and expose his jiu-jitsu, that's what he's going to do. But of course, mixed martial arts, you want to be the guy on top, not the guy underneath. And what Rakic did a good job of was controlling, maintaining the position, and then when the referee was looking like he was starting to think about standing it up, boom, land a big, big, heavy shot. And when he did throw a ground and pound shot, fuck me, man, there was some real welly on it. And then second round was kind of similar. Third round, he came out strong. Rakic again landed some good head kicks, I think, couple of good shots. And then again, hit the floor. I mean, to your point, I love Anthony Smith. He's a friend of mine. He's a colleague of mine. We have him on the podcast. So it is difficult to say. I've got tremendous respect. Anthony would never make excuses. He's a fighter's fighter. He's the type of man to take it on the chin. He's the type of man to get his fucking teeth knocked out halfway through a fight and then hand them to the referee without calling timeout. And then when his opponent says, oh, sorry, buddy, it's just a fight game. And he says, ah, it is what it is. You know, that man is as tough as they come.
What, all right, if you were in Anthony Smith's corner, what would you have said to him in between rounds to change it up? Because, really, that's it. Yeah. What would you have said? What if you were in his corner and you were coaching him?
Listen, at the end of the day, I don't want to be disrespectful to his coaches. And sometimes, you know, that was a dominant win. It was a good win for Rakic. You know, it wasn't like it was necessarily up to the judges. You know, I mean, it was pretty clear cut who won that fight. You know, it was a good night at the office for Rakic. It was a bad night at the office for Smith. Who knows? Maybe he came back too soon. Maybe he's too small for the division. Maybe he had the wrong game plan. I don't think any of those things are necessarily true. I just think he was beaten on the night by the better man. I feel that if I was to give some advice on what he could do differently, he should have utilized some movement. We didn't really see too much of the striking of Anthony Smith because he never really got a chance. The leg kicks shutting down fast and quick, you know, and then it hit the floor, and every time it hit the ground pretty quick, you know, I think it was the second round he just forced him, bulldozed him to the ground. So it's more a case of what Rakic did well as opposed to what Smith did badly, if that makes any sense. But anyway, never mind me and you sitting here talking about it. We have the man himself on standby right now. We did record this one a little earlier, so if you think Lewis is you know, just not adding the normal pizzazz that he does, then he can be forgiven.
Rakic the cold shoulder. I was like, you know what? I'm an Anthony Smith guy. Sorry, Rakic. I'm going to set this one out.
Exactly. Brian, roll the tape, please. All right. Fresh off his win at the weekend, Alexander Rakic, my friend. Tremendous performance. We'll get into all of that. Obviously, I see the smile on your face. You're back home in Austria right now or Serbia? I keep getting those mixed up, but congrats. Where are you? How are you feeling?
Hey, Mike. I feel very good, you know, after this victory against Anthony, I feel amazing. I just landed today in Vienna, Austria. I'm at my home with my family spending some quality time now and some rest and going back to work as soon as possible.
Well, if you look at your face, you wouldn't think you were just in a main event against one of the world's best in Anthony Smith. Is there anything about the fight that surprised you? I mean, you were in control pretty much the whole time, but is there anything that Anthony surprised you with?
I mean, I knew Anthony is a tricky guy, and I needed to be, when we hit the ground, I needed to be very patient and very focused, because his grappling is and his jiu-jitsu is very good. You know, he took my back twice. I mean, he took my back in the first round, but I've been training this so many times with my grappling coach, and when he takes my back, there is no escape. So I'm getting a little bit used to this. And I mean, Anthony surprised me in the third round, how he recovered after this left hook and left kick to the head. I thought I'm going to knock him out, but man, hats off, and he took it really Lionheart.
Yeah, no, he is. Listen, I love Anthony. He's a friend of mine. He comes on this podcast all the time. So I have nothing but tremendous respect for the man. However, the fact remains, you had a dominant performance. At the start of the first round, it looked like you were close to getting a really quick finish. You landed those heavy calf kicks, and then he went down. I wanted to ask you, did you feel like at any point you should get back to your feet and come back away? Because you seemed happy to play the jiu-jitsu game. Now, of course, you were dominating, you were landing good shots and controlling. But did any part of you think that perhaps you were playing into Anthony's advantage?
Look, I started with the leg kicks because, you know, in the Apex Arena, the cage is really small. I mean, small, it's really small. So I started with the kicks. I want to hurt him. I want to slow him down a little bit. And then, I dropped him with the kicks. And then soon we hit the ground, in my head was his words, what he said in the interview, that I'm a one-dimensional fighter, you know, that I'm only a striker. And I told myself, I'm going to show you that I'm not a one-dimensional fighter. I'm going to control you the whole round. And then the next round, we're going to start again in the stand-up position, and I'm going to kick your leg again and going for your liver, you know. So that's the reason I choose to stay on the ground with him, just to show him that I'm not a one-dimensional fighter.
Hey, it's mixed martial arts. You've got to be well-rounded, and you certainly seem to be. And when you were on the ground with him, a lot of the time working from the guard or in half guard, you were taking your time, you were picking your shots. But when you actually landed a shot, when you would throw a shot, there was a lot of power there. You generate a lot of power in your ground and pound. Is that something you work on? Is that something you train specifically for?
Yes, I've been working, like I said, before the fight, I brought a new wrestling coach, and the most thing we was working is this pressure on the ground. We didn't hit so many takedowns. The most important thing is how to control the opponent on the ground and where and when to put the pressure. So I've been working this a lot in the last 2 months, and I'm so happy that I could show this in this fight.
Yeah, well, listen, as I said before, a tremendous performance, very, very dominant. That's behind you now. That's Saturday night. Now the future, you're looking ahead. I mean, what do you want next? Of course, Reyes and Blachowicz are going to fight. First off, who do you think's going to win that fight? And who would you like to see win that fight? Which style do you think is better for you to potentially become the champion one day?
The light heavyweight division is getting really interested, and now two big fights. The first one is Glover against Thiago, the number two against the number four, and then Jan against Reyes. I think Reyes is going to win that fight. He's a southpaw. He's very tall, and he's getting used to fight orthodox guys. I don't know how he's going to prepare for this. I hear in his interviews he's going to bring some good southpaws, you know. I see Reyes winning the fight, but stylistically, for me, it would be better to fight Jan for the belt. But I think Reyes is going to win that fight. But I've been working with my striking coach already months ago. We always put, when we do mid-session, we always put like 2-3 rounds, and we do like stuff in the, I'm going to do stuff against southpaws. So because we knew one day will come and I'm going to face Dominic Reyes in the future. So we already getting prepared for this. But when I get the fight against Dominic, and when I need to prepare for a southpaw, so I'm going to be ready for this.
So yeah. Reyes has always been kind of in the back of your mind, always trying to get ready for that one. Okay, that's smart. Yeah. And then lastly, on the light heavyweight division, obviously John Jones vacated that. Do you think that whoever becomes the champ, Reyes, Blachowicz, do you think they'll, you know, the people, the market, the audience, do you think they'll consider them the champion? Or do you think they'll consider them as like the paper champion because John moved on? What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. We could see it when John was, I think, suspended, and when Cormier gets the title.
Yeah.
The people said, hey, you are the champion, but if you want to be a real champion, you need to beat John Jones. And that's going to be with Reyes and Jan also. You need to beat John Jones to be the real light heavyweight champion. And I hope John is going to come back and want the title shot for the light heavyweight division, because it would be very interesting for us.
John Jones, we know he's the GOAT. Everybody talks about him, so highly regarded. As I just said to you there, you know, you kind of always had Dominic Reyes in the back of your mind. I guess you always had John Jones in there, because when I was competing at middleweight, I always wanted to fight Anderson Silva. So I'm assuming you always wanted to fight John Jones.
Absolutely. I mean, John, you said it, he's a GOAT, and he did a lot of good things in the light heavyweight division. He had like, I think, 13 title defenses. He moved now to the heavyweight division. He wants new challengers. But we are also the new generation, me, Dominic, the other guys in the top 10. We are very dangerous, and the sport is growing every day, and we are dangerous for him. And now he go to the heavyweight, he's going to make 1-2 fights, and I hope he's going to come back to the light heavyweight to fight for the title, and I hope against me. But doesn't matter if it's light heavyweight or heavyweight, I'm sure we're going to meet one day somewhere.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed, I hope so. And as you said, you are the new generation, and there's so many great fighters now coming into the UFC from Eastern Europe, and from Europe, mainland Europe. I mean, for example, Jiří Procházka, you know who that guy is?
Yes, I know. I saw the fight against Volkan, and I was watching him before in Ryzen.
Yeah, he's a tremendous talent. He really is. And as you said, you've got Blachowicz, you've got yourself. So there's a tremendous amount of talent coming out there. All right, enough of the fight stuff. You just focused on that for 8 weeks. What are you doing? What are your plans this week? Are you celebrating, taking it easy? Are you back in the gym? What are your plans?
I'm going to take a couple of days off. I know I'm going to... 10 days is the maximum. Then I cannot handle this, and I need to go to the gym. My legs are still a little bit bruised from the kicks, you know. And after the plane, my legs are full of water. But I have on Saturday, I have my wedding with my wife.
Oh, no way!
Yes.
Wow! Oh, congratulations! Yeah. I had no idea how many years you've been together, engaged.
We are together now. On Sunday, gonna be 7 years we are together.
Nice.
Yes. And on Saturday is our wedding. So we're gonna celebrate, me and my family and some friends. Then 2 weeks later is the first birthday of my son. This also we're gonna celebrate. So it's a busy month for me. And but I'm gonna start to train as soon as possible. You know, I want to improve, and I want to. I saw the fight so many times, the last fight, and I want to work on my ground and pound more. I want to put more elbows, to cut people, you know? So this is my goal, and this is the next thing I want to work with. So I want to start as soon as I heal up, to improve this.
So certainly a very busy time, but a good time to be Rakic. You just had a great win at the weekend. You're getting married next week. Then it's your son's birthday. I mean, it's a great time. What is a typical Austrian wedding? Because in my mind, if you talk about an Austrian, is it an Austrian lady?
No, it's a Serbian.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. A Serbian wedding. Where's the wedding going to be? Because in my mind, if you say anything other than a castle, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Look, a Serbian wedding is crazy. a lot of food, a lot of good vibes. We're going to have like 230 people. So
nice.
It's not so many. A normal Serbian wedding is up to 500. But we cannot do it because of the coronavirus and everything
230 people, still a good number.
But this is only a small circle.
Yeah. No, that's amazing.
It's not going to be a car.
Thank you for the invite, Alex. I appreciate that, buddy.
Yeah, come over, brother. If you can, come.
I'll be there. Yeah. I'll be there.
It's gonna be hard. It's gonna be. I think tougher than my fight.
Yeah, yeah. No, hey, that's the way it goes. Wives are amazing. Well, congratulations. Final question. We'll let you leave on this one. I think it's weekend or next weekend. Next weekend, we have Glover Teixeira taking on Thiago Santos. Of course, for yourself, you know, Glover has seen a resurgence. Santos is a guy that's been around for a while, that had a close fight with Jones. He's got some big knockouts. So I'm assuming you're going to be watching this one. Who do you think wins and why?
This one is very interesting because Glover fought against Anthony and he won that fight. But if you see the fight, he lost the first round and the middle of the second he lost to Anthony. Thiago was a long layoff. He had both knee surgeries. So he's been not now fighting for almost 1 month and 1 year and 3 months, right? Mm. I know Thiago personally. We was training in ATT. I don't know how he healed up because I had also a knee surgery. I had two knee surgeries on my left knee. I tore my ACL and my menisc, and the body could be ready, but it's everything here. You know, if you're ready, if the head is ready, and I don't know if he's ready, you know. I hope so. I'm seeing training. But I, stylistically, for this fight, I see Thiago as a winner because he's a little bit younger. He's more aggressive and he's a great striker. So I see Thiago winning this fight.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Alex. So I guess on that, we'll let you go. You got a lot of things to be celebrated. Appreciate. Congratulations on your win. Congratulations on the wedding. Congratulations to your son. Be well.
Thank you.
Celebrate. Go crazy. My regards to your lady, of course. And once again, thanks for joining the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. And always looking forward to speak with you.
We'll do it again soon, buddy. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you to Alexander Rakic. Let's real quick, Harrington, you were telling me earlier on today about a couple interesting stories. We got a little bit of time left here before we have the Michelle Waterson interview. What do you got on the plate?
The biggest story, I think, is your boy Luke Rockhold. He says he wants to fight Darren Till. Says he wants to fight him at the O2 Arena. The actual quote, "I'd like to fight Darren Till. Till would be a fun fight. It'd be fun to do in the O2. I don't know how I feel fighting with no fans. It takes all that steam out, all the wind out of your sails. I like making history. I like going out there. Cream rises to the top when you put all the pressure on. It's the pressure. It's the obstacle of fighting. That is why I love it."
Yeah, fair play. They are true words. However, he did say, I don't know, I mean, he's saying he wants to come out and fight at the O2 Arena. Yeah, I would like to see him fight at the O2 Arena with fans and with Rockhold there, because I would assume his reception wouldn't be too good. Obviously, you know, he was a longtime rival of mine. Till is massive, massively popular. So I'd want to see it with fans just to hear the amazing boo that the British people would give him.
Do you think that is there any part of you that thinks that he wants to fight Till because he's British and it's the closest thing that he can get to fighting you again?
Possibly. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, my knee's going to be fixed soon, right? I'm telling you, a couple of days, I'll be karate kicking in the house. A month or two, I'll be going for my first little gentle jogs. Who knows? Maybe I'll come out of retirement. No. I don't think he's looking at Darren Till and thinking, okay, there's the next Michael Bisping. Well, I want revenge for Bisping, so let's go after Darren. I think he looks at Darren as somebody. And you know, to be honest, I guarantee now, when people look at Darren, they kind of think the same thing of me. I used to get called out by everybody under the sun back in the day because they used to say, they look at my fights and they used to think, oh, he's garbage, he's shit. Because, you know, even if there is bad blood, after the fight, you know, you share a few words with your opponent and you have a chat. And some of them have told me, yeah, you know, to be honest, we looked at your tapes and we called you out. Like Rashad Evans, classic example. He's like, yeah, we looked at your tape. We thought, man, this guy's weak. He's useless. He said, but you were a whole different animal to deal with when you get in there. And that's the same thing with Darren Till, because I think they're looking now and seeing that he's lost a few recently, but he has still got a tremendous amount of hype, tremendous amount of star power. And if you fight Darren Till, it's probably going to be a main event, if not a co-main event on a pay-per-view. And so he's thinking, okay, I can come back. I can get redemption against Bisping. I can be a top middleweight contender and somebody that he thinks he can pick off with ease.
Is that something that ever pissed you off, that like people would try to make a name off you? Because you're right about that assessment. People looked at you and you, I mean, I guess for a little while, I don't want to say gatekeeper because it wasn't the right thing, but you were a star that like if you beat Bisping, you were sort of right there and you were the guy and you had a few tough losses that were one, number one contender, number two matches. So did that ever piss you off or sort of bug you? Or do you remember any time in particular that you were like, that guy fucking really disrespected me and I have to... I mean, obviously the Jorge Rivera fight, but that wasn't necessarily him overlooking you.
Yeah, nah. You can't really get... If they talk about your skills, it doesn't matter. You know, if they you know, berate your skill set, so to speak, you know, you can't get offended by that. That's what they're supposed to do as a fighter. They're supposed to think that they're better than you. But Rockhold versus Darren Till, I mean, that would be good. Because listen, Darren, as we know, friend of the show, been on here many times. In fact, let's talk about this. This is fucking hilarious, Lewis. You're going to love this one. You know, we spoke about Raw Dog. Raw Dog is the thing that Darren Till is doing right now, right? You've seen that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And remember last week I was messaging the Darren Till store as opposed to Darren Till. And then he came on and he said, no, Mike, you've been messaging the store. You fucking daft con, lads. You've been fucking messaging the Darren Till store. Anyway, I get some messages last week off the Darren Till store, right? And Darren will get a laugh out of this. They're like, oh, Mike, what's your address? And all the rest of it. I'm like, all right, very kind. Yeah, they're going to send me a couple of pieces. And then he goes, and then they obviously put a tweet. Sorry, Darren, I'm not throwing you under a bus. It's the little gobshite that fucking works for you. I'm going to slap this guy when I catch up with him, right? He puts a picture on Instagram story, tagging me on it and tagging someone else. And then he puts the picture in my messenger and goes, Mick has reposted it, Mike, but you haven't. Just that. So I go, well, I haven't seen it for one. I don't spend every minute of my life looking for Instagram stories from you. And then he comes back with, well, 121 people were tagged in that photo, but you're telling me you didn't see it?
What?
I'm like, what the fuck, you little shit?
So he's mad that you didn't share it in your story. He's like, click the share on my story button.
Yeah, share our products on your page. You were tagged in it. What are you doing? 121 people were tagged. So I go, one, haven't been on my phone all afternoon. Been busy, you cheeky cunt. Two, none of your business. And then three, Darren sound as fuck, but I have no idea who you are. So jog the fuck on. And then he comes back. Yeah, I'm not, I don't know who you are.
Jog the fuck on. I like that.
Darren's great. He's awesome. Darren can talk all the shit he wants, but some random faceless guy, some young kid off the council estate that's packaging up his fucking t-shirts.
This is Darren's Harrington is talking shit to the count right now.
Darren's Harrington is talking a lot of shit. And I'm like, no. Let's just fucking get some fucking, you know, let's figure this out right now. Darren Till, I have a word with you, Harrington, please. Darren Till versus Luke Rockhold, dog. That'd be good. That'd be a huge
fight. Very exciting. Massive fight. Rockhold coming down from, I mean, former Strikeforce 205-pound champion. Till coming up from 170. You know,
Rockhold, former UFC 185-pound champion, is a little bit more impressive.
I was saying the size difference was the point I'm making. Do you think, but Till's also huge. Do you think how much bigger is Rockhold? Rockhold's also like 6'4", right?
Yeah, 6'3", I think. So they'd be pretty similar in height. I think Rockhold would be the taller guy, the bigger guy, definitely the cockier guy, even though they're both cocky. But Rockhold's ego is out of control. The only fly in the ointment is that actually Darren is fighting what's his face? Ben, who's he fighting? Jack Hermanson. He's fighting Jack Hermanson later in the year. So if that does happen, that'll be it later for sure. But if it does, sign me up. I want to see it.
Really quick, we should talk about CBDMD and their incredible CBD products. I really do love CBDMD. And if you don't know what CBD is, it's a non-psychoactive chemical in hemp, in marijuana. It does not get you high. It is legal in 50 states. This is it's designed to help heal your body, get your body back into homeostasis. It helps with a variety of things. Do some research, but everything from inflammation, physical pain, help with sleep, help with waking up. It really does help in so many different ways. Do your research right now. Go on to Google and see how CBD can help you. Mr. Bisping, how much has CBD helped you in recovering from all of your surgeries?
Well, yeah, many, many surgeries. I mean, I will say this, developing from somebody removing a knee and then putting a new knee in and stapling your back together, you need something a little stronger than CBD, but it has been helping. I'm serious. I've got to be real with the clients, with our fan base. I've got to be real. But that said, Rebecca has been massaging it into the thigh, the recover and the revive, massaging it in. And it definitely been helping, because normally last time my thigh was very, very sore, very tender to the touch. But this time, still nice and soft and juicy, baby boy. And let's not forget my dad. He came out here a couple of years ago, could hardly walk. He had the cane. And I said, Dad, come on, what's going on? You need to see a doctor. And when he left my house, I gave him a ton of CBD. Came back about a year later, this time no cane, no limp, walking around freely. And when I asked what it was down to, he said, son, as soon as I started taking the CBD, that's when this happened, the positive change happened. So check it out. As Lewis said, nothing to do with getting high. Variety of products. They got the drops. They got the gummies. Whichever way you want to do it, they got excellent products. They got Revive, Recover. They got the Freeze, which is like a roll-on. Super easy to apply. And of course, the best prices per milligram and the best quality CBD on the market. That's what you want. The best quality, Lewis.
Oh, well, of course. Obviously, nobody wants crappy quality. That's why they're listening to this podcast. You listen for quality. You want quality products. This is really cool, though. They actually offer free shipping on all U.S. orders with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Talk about that.
30-day back money-back guarantee. Get it. Try it. See if it's for you. If it's not for you, send it back. If it is for you, my God, it's a wonder drug. You will thank us later. You'll be hounding me on Instagram and everywhere I go say, Michael, I can't thank you enough. A lot of people do. Believe it or not, a lot of people reach out and tell me how much it has helped them. Some people even say it's changed their life. So do check it out. Go to cbdmd.com and the code is BYM20. That's going to get you 20% off plus free shipping. Website, cbdmd.com and the code BYM20, 20% off, free shipping. Do give it a try and you will be pleasantly surprised. All right, let's get back into it. Next week, on next week's fight card, we have Michelle Waterson. She's going to be fighting Angela Hill. Angela Overtime Hill, I think it is. Overkill. Angela Overkill Hill. She seems to fight every other weekend. But Michelle Waterson, the karate hottie, was very, very kind enough to join us. Brian, if you wouldn't mind, roll the tape with Michelle and I. Ladies and gentlemen, here she is, the karate hottie, Michelle Waterson, making her Believe You Me debut. Michelle, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. How are you doing?
I'm good. I love when you say my fight names. It sounds so good.
No, I know. I just said it before to my wife and she said, you sound the most English ever when you said the karate hottie. It sounds so proper.
Karate hottie.
What's going on, Michelle? How you been? Obviously, the world is going through a crazy time right now. How's it been for you and your family?
It is. You know, I think the best you can do is just try to, you know, roll with the punches and continue on moving forward and taking care of our family and just trying to, you know, make a lemonade out of lemons.
That's what you got to do. And I'll tell you what, who has made lemonade out of lemons is the UFC, as you know all too well. Been chugging away fights every single weekend. But before we get into your fight, obviously you're taking on Angela Hill next week. We'll get into all that. How's it been? Obviously you're a mother. I think you have a 9-year-old daughter. Is that right?
Yeah.
9-year-old daughter. So obviously she needs to be homeschooled. You're training for a fight. I mean, that's when I was training for a fight, I was the most selfish asshole on the planet. Nothing else got a look in. My wife, bless her, she was a saint. She did everything. I mean, so what is the balance? What is the dynamic in your house? Are you still playing mom all the time, or does your husband kindly take care of that side of things?
You know, it is like it is a huge balance. Fortunately, you know, we have a Ray in a private school, so she's actually going back to school, and it's great for her because she is an only child. So I think it's important for her to socialize with kids her age. But you know, with that being said, there are still tons of responsibilities going into parenting in general. Mm. And the older they get, the more involved in school and activities they get. And so you have to be involved just as much as a parent as you are, you know, as an athlete. That support coming from your parent is important as well.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Sorry, I thought you were done. Carry on.
I was just going to say, my daughter, you know, she does gymnastics 3 times a week, 3 hours practices, and then she goes to school and we have homework. So those are the things that we work on. But Josh is an amazing husband. And, you know, he the great thing is he used to fight, you know, so he knows what it is. He understands the stresses. So when he sees me start, you know, twitching or getting the itch to want to bite somebody's head off, he steps in and takes over. And, you know, my mom comes down to help me with the fights. And so we just have an amazing, really close-knit group here with my family. And then even my coaches and my teammates, they all, you know, are willing to adjust their schedules, you know, based on what's happening in the day, because things can change at a drop of a dime.
Oh, no, of course, absolutely. Well, it sounds like you're doing just great, though, doing the gymnastics 3 times a week, the private schools. Because as you say, those, I mean, of course, the schooling is paramount. The educational side of things is very, very important. But also those social interactions at such a young age, they're just so important.
I 100% agree. I think that more kids and probably even more adults need to get out and have true conversations with people.
That is true. There's a lot of people, I guarantee, watching this podcast that are sat at home. Our producer, Brian, get outside, meet some people, have some real conversations.
I'm like, you need to get some sun. Go do something. I don't know. You're going crazy over here.
Exactly. All right, let's get into it. So next week, you take an Angela Hill. In fact, before we get into it, the last time we saw you was against Carla Esparza. That was back in May. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, it didn't go your way. She likes a lot of wrestling and whatever. It is what it is, right? But this is a pretty quick turnaround for you. Did you take any inspiration from Angela? Because Angela seems to fight every 2-3 months. You know, did you look at her and think, you know, maybe I want to start fighting more frequently, or not really?
Not really. I don't think it was what I think irked me about the last fight is that it was kind of a dud. You know, it's like when you go to light a firecracker and it doesn't go off and you're like, okay, that was not fun, you know? And you know, just sometimes, you know, styles make fights, and that's how that fight ended up. And I've had more fun in some sparring circumstances than in that fight. And it could have been a combination of a lot of things. The fact that there was no crowd, the fact that it was the first fight from the pandemic, that Carla's a wrestler. And in my head, instead of saying, you know, F it, let's just go to the ground, let me take you down, I was so stuck and stubborn in my head as far as, you know, I'm going to shut down the wrestler's takedown. I should have been more offensive with my wrestling, because I have good wrestling and I have good jujitsu, and I just wasn't showcasing it.
Yeah, it's really hard, because I used to be the same way. When I was preparing for a wrestler, it was all about takedown defense. But you've got to remember your skill sets, and you got to fight your fight. And if you can put the wrestler on the back foot, if you can have them reacting to what you're doing, defending your blows, being forced backwards, that takes them out of their game plan. But of course, you know, it's easy to sit here and say that, you know, from the luxury of our houses and what looks to be a very comfortable bed. Angela Hill, how do you break it down?
I think, like, you know, she takes advantages of the things that she's good at. And I think the reason why she's been on, you know, such a tear is because she's utilizing her momentum in a positive way. You know, the momentum of a win is extraordinary if you can use it in a positive way. And so she's just been racking up these wins and building up her confidence. And I think that's how she's been able to put together these wins. She's a volume striker. And she likes to move around a lot. I think that I have the upper hand when it comes to my creativity and my striking. And I'm more well-rounded than she is. I have better wrestling. I have better ground. I have better cage awareness. And so, you know, wherever the fight goes, I think that I'm better.
And I'm sure if you speak to any journalist under the sun, not that I'm a goddamn journalist. Brian, edit that bit out. I am not a journalist. But if you were to speak to a journalist, they would say, what's the training regimen right now with COVID? But you train down at Jackson's, right? And you guys are open and it seems to be pretty much business as usual.
Yeah, you know, we're taking our precautions and we're being safe and we're being respectful. But I think that the most important thing is to stay healthy, you know, clean your butt.
I mean, that's a motto like I live my life by. Every day, you got to clean that butt. We have a producer on this show as well. He's not here right now. His name's Harrington. His shower habits are not the best. Harrington, if you take one thing away from this interview, it is clean your butt. Sorry, Michelle, you were saying.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, just have respect. And then, you know, just the people that are in the gym, the majority of them have fights or they are helping their teammates get ready for a fight. Mm. And so, you know, we're just keeping clean and making sure that we're taking the right precautions and staying healthy, I think, is one of the most important parts, staying healthy, making sure we're keeping up on our vitamins, but our zinc and all that good stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the strawweight division now, it's the best it's ever been. There's so much talent there. I mean, obviously Zhang is the champion. She had an incredible fight with Yan JJ. Then you've got Rose in the waiting. She had a good comeback over Andrade. I mean, what do you make of the strawweight division right now? And I'm assuming the fire to be the champion still burns deeply within you. So how do you see the division? How many fights do you think? If you were to map out the perfect scenario for you to be champion of the world, what would that look like?
You know, you're right. I think that the strawweight division is the most stacked division women-wise in the UFC. Even the girls that they're just signing that aren't even ranked have amazing resumes and that are super hungry to get into the rankings and also to get to that championship belt. What I see is, you know, getting an impressive win here against Angela and then getting another win and then hopefully being in the talks for championship belt. I do believe that I'm right there in talks for the belt because the losses that I did take were against previous champions. And, yep. And you can argue that my last loss was a controversial loss, a split decision. And so those are still, even though they're losses, they're still forward movement.
Yeah, absolutely. You're still there in the conversation. It's not like you're getting beaten off people that are new to the UFC without a resume. I mean, not to inject myself into it, but when I was fighting, I was losing some fights here and there, but they were against the best guys, you know, so that when you're doing that, just like yourself, the best ladies, pardon me, you're always there, you know, and God forbid, you know, things unfold just the way they need to. You're always there in line for a title shot. So yeah. So I was looking at your IMDb page this morning, seeing if you've been doing any acting. I saw that you were in MacGruber in 2010. I loved that movie. When I was in, where I was in Las Vegas, I was training for a fight and I was staying at the Palms and we went to the theater. I watched MacGruber. I laughed my fucking ass off. That movie is hilarious. Talk to us about that.
It was so hard to keep a straight face on set. That was actually the movie that gave me my SAG card. So I'm super grateful for that. And the scene that I was in there doing a stunt double for was the scene where he was trying to do like a distraction diversion and he put the celery up his butt and
what is it with you and butts? Clean your butts, celery up your butt.
I don't know, but it was so hard. Like I had to literally walk off set because I could not stop laughing.
Hold on. Did he actually put celery up his butt?
Oh yeah, he was clenching. He was clenching that booty.
Not something you see every day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, but they were so amazing to work with. And it is always great to work with actors that are super humble. And I remember working on the set with, I was on set with, now I can't remember it. See, this is what happens when you get punched in the head for a living.
Tell me about it. It happens to me every day. I'll be mid-conversation. I'll be like, what was I just talking about? And I use it also when I forget people's names, which I do all the time. Like, oh, sorry, I used to get hit in the head for a living. And they're like, okay, fair enough, that works. But in my mind, I'm like, no, I forgot. So but it's a convenient excuse.
I know. See, now you're calling me out on that.
Exactly. Is acting something that you're trying to make a second career? Have you got an agent, all that type of thing? Do any classes?
Yeah, I do. You know, it's definitely something that I would love to get into. I always like to get into something that challenges me, that pushes me outside of my comfort zone. And acting for sure is one of those things. You kind of have to be a really good storyteller. You have to be able to step inside a character that is outside of your comfort zone and embody that character. And those to me are things that all that help your individual character as well. So for sure, I'm really interested in it. And yeah, I've done things here and there. I'm signed to WME, and you know, when they send me over auditions, we give a crack at it. And I was really excited. I got to audition for Mortal Kombat.
Oh, nice.
I auditioned for Mortal Kombat. Unfortunately, I didn't get the call back, but, you know, yeah. It's a step forward still.
It's a very tricky subject with me. My agent was working on getting me the part of Kano, and I thought, I'm going to get this. I got the one eye. I can pull the eye out right now, and then they gave it to some Australian. I'm like, you son of a bitch. How dare you?
Yeah, you would have been perfect for that. Yeah, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, but the thing is, just let me ask you. So when you get the audition, and do you read it with your husband, things like that? Because I do it with my wife, and arguments ensue. I don't know what it's like in your house, but we just start arguing because, like, I'll be reading it. I'll study the scene. I'll look at it, and then, like, I'm like, okay, so we start reading it. And then she doesn't say anything. I'm like, it's your line. I'm like, I'm the one trying to remember it without the sheet. You have the sheet in your hand. Come on. So tell us about your experiences, because it seems like there might be something similar there.
I think that because my own personality is very, like, extravagant and bubbly and out there. Sometimes when I read scripts, I'm extravagant and bubbly, and my husband's always kind of like, how about you just tone it down a little bit? Like, you're a little bit extra.
Ooh. To which you're like, excuse me?
What?
how about you tone it down?
But, you know, Josh and I have been working together for so long, and even within, you know, he's been in my corner for so long. Just that husband and wife dynamic and business partners, we interchange so many different hats because he does a lot of work with my finance. He manages me, and he's the one that does all of the negotiations for all of our endorsements, for our fight deals. He's also in my corner, so he's the one, you know, telling me what to do here and there. But he's also my husband, you know, and he's also father to my daughter. And so we have to – I think we've gotten a really good rhythm as far as, you know, when I'm looking at him, when we're training, he's coach. And then, you know, I don't look at him as coach when we're, you know, laying in the bed. You know, it's a different, you have to be able to distinguish, you know, who, what hat he's wearing at what time.
Yep. No. And you're very, very lucky. I mean, not so much these days, more back in the day, there was a lot of shady characters around MMA, managers stealing our fighters, keeping sponsorship money, not necessarily having the fighter's best interest, having your husband as your manager, one of your coaches, your nutritionist, all that type, your business manager as well. I mean, that's just incredible. It really is. Right. I'm assuming you're a very, very busy girl, so we'll let you go on this one. Angela Hill, next week, prediction, who wins? And how does it, I'm assuming you say you. So how do you win next week?
I'm looking for a finish. I want to go in there and fight. I want to go in there and have some fun. I think sometimes we can overthink it and over-strategize. Yep. I want to go in there and have fun. I want to go in there and fight, throw down. I want to connect. I want to inflict the most damage and get my hand raised.
Yeah, do you know what? I actually saw a quote from you saying that. What led you to say that? Why do you think you want to go in there and have less of a game plan? You just want to kind of feel it, see what she brings to you, and just go from there. What kind of inspired that game plan, so to speak? Because lack of a game plan.
Because I've been fighting for so long, and sometimes I can forget that, you know?
Yep.
And when you have a game plan, that stifles your creativity. And I think that when you can go in there and you just, like, I think I'm going to go in there, I'm going to bring my toolbox, and whatever problems present itself, I can go in the toolbox and pull out whatever tool I need. And I know that it will be there. I just have to trust myself.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because a lot of the time you do over-obsess, you look at it, and of course you want to win so badly. It means so much to you. And of course your coaches, your husband, everybody around you, they want you to win. So you obsess over it, and then that ends up being detrimental. You've done martial arts your whole life. You've had so many MMA fights. You know what to do. You know what to do if somebody shoots a double leg or fires a kick or whatever. You just Let it all flow. Let it all be free. And we'll be tuning in. We'll be watching, wishing you the best. Michelle Watson, thank you so much for joining us. And fingers crossed you get a win. We'll talk to you again sometime soon.
Thanks, Kano.
Leave it alone. That's a touchy subject. Michelle, you're the best. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. All the best and good luck to you.
All right. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, we are back. Thank you, Michelle Waterson. Real quick, before we get some fan questions, but you can join the conversation anytime on the Believe You Me podcast. All you got to do is shoot us an email at bympod@gmail.com. Fan art, questions, songs, rap songs, videos, whatever you want. The more creative, the more likely we will play your fan content on the show. Once again, bympod@gmail.com. But you can also support the show directly. All you got to do right now is go to our iTunes, leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review. We love the positive comments. Please keep them coming in. We really do appreciate it. The more you rate the show, the higher it gets ranked on iTunes, and that means more people discover it. So it's a great way for people to discover the show. Also, to share it with a friend. Maybe you'll see on a forum somebody's asking what your favorite podcast is. Post Believe in Me podcast. We do appreciate the support. You guys are the number one reason why the show is growing. You can also subscribe directly to our YouTube channel. Just search Michael Bisping podcast on YouTube and hit the notification button. And if you guys want access to the entire on-demand library, every episode we've ever done, uncensored and ad-free, they're all available at gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM for a 14-day free trial. Okay.
All right.
Let's get some questions.
Brian. We got any questions coming in?
Yeah, I got this one here from a gentleman named Joe Canova.
Joe Canova. Oh, let's go.
Michael and Lewis, baby boys of the world, I got a question for you guys. At what age do you think is too old to begin and compete in mixed martial arts to where you could get into an upper end promotion, meaning UFC, Bellator? Just starting out from ground zero, what age do you guys think? By the way, love what you guys do. Listen every week. Super fan. TFAK is dead. MMA. Believe you me, we taking over, baby.
Huh. Well, what was his name?
Joseph Canova.
Joe Canova. Thank you, Joe. Much appreciated, buddy. I'm assuming looking at this, well, of course, you're not going to ask that question for anybody else. Otherwise, you would say, I'm asking on behalf of my buddy, Joe. He's a fat truck driver. He's 53 years old, but is that too old? No, he's asking for himself. And Joe, I will say this, first and foremost, you don't look too old and you look in shape. You look like you look like you've taken care of yourself and things like that. So the answer to that question is it all depends on the individual. You know, there's no right or wrong answer per se. It all comes down to you. What kind of lifestyle have you lived? What is your background? If you're starting doing absolutely nothing, we see that sometimes, you know, and by the way, even if like you were to go off and do the research and see that, I don't know, let's say for example, that you're 40 years old, right? Or let's say 35, it's more realistic. Let's say if you're 35 years old and you've done the research and it turns out that nobody has done that. Nobody has started at 35, never even thrown a punch or whatever, made it to the UFC. Well, so what? Don't let that deter you. You can be the first one. You can break the mold. You can be the first one. You can break history. So don't always look for other people to have done it and to lead the path for you or show you the way or lead by example, so to speak. If you've got the desire, you've got the will, and you've got the ability, which it seems like you have, if you're talking about yourself, as I said before, look like you're in pretty decent shape, go find a fucking gym. Go find a gym, go find a dojo, go find someone that's going to train you and see where it goes. And if you're feeling it and you're doing good, you know, in a year or two, maybe start talking about doing a fight. You know, here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to like be like booking fights in advance prior to having done any kind of formal training. That's just crazy. But Lewis, what would be the advice you would, I mean, you are.
That's literally what I did. I booked a fight without any training. And then I broke the mold and I won that fight. The upper echelon, realistically speaking, I mean, you'd have to be pretty fucking special. Maybe you are, you know what I'm saying? But you have to have an undying belief in your ability to get to that highest level. You know, I think that you probably have to have a really high level wrestling background, right? And a really like, if you're a really high level athlete, let's say you were a college football player and you like were, you know, went semi-pro and you're like that type of athlete. I don't know that Joe Schmo, who's never done anything ever, could get to the upper echelon. But once again, you said it best, Bisping. There's one guy to win the lottery. There's one guy to do the thing
exactly,
the first time.
Exactly.
There's one guy that fucking breaks that record.
If you've got the ability to go out and do it, give it a fucking try. And don't let anyone tell you that you can't do it. And if you want to be the guy that's doing it, because you do see it now more and more. I mean, we do these bios and we have these fighter meetings with people for the UFC when we commentate. And they'll say, I had never done any kind of formal training 3 years ago. And okay, granted, some of these people are younger, but because you're older, just like more mature students, they get an easier way into college because they're more mature. They understand things better. Now, of course, being mature and being older in terms of an athlete is detrimental, but still my point does, you know, there is a point there, but still, if you feel that you can do it and you want to do it, then don't let anyone else tell you that you can't, because guess what? If you don't fucking do it, now you're going to be full of regret. And then one day you might be sitting there going, for fuck's sake, why did I listen to Luis J. Gomez and not try? Why didn't I listen to Michael Galen Bisping, okay, and actually go for it? Michael G. Bisping, okay? Don't listen to Luis J., listen to the Michael G.
Well, the other thing which I'll say is, like, if you're trying to, if you've never trained martial arts and you're trying to do it because you want to get into the UFC, in my opinion, I also think you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And I can speak
Let
me finish my point.
No, I know, but you're wrong.
I'm not wrong. Let me finish.
You are wrong.
It's an opinion.
I know, but I'm telling you, well, you have your opinion, but your opinion, you could say my opinion is that snow is formed when the sun gets really hot. And that opinion would be wrong. And I'm telling you that if you're getting into this to fight in the UFC one day, then there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing, and that can be done. What do you think I did?
Michael, you didn't start doing martial arts to get into the UFC. You started martial arts because you wanted to learn how to fight, and you sort of
It all goes to this, the fucking UFC is the premier promotion. That's where the bread's going to get buttered. That's where you want to go. So you want to get to the UFC. And if you sell, if they're sitting at home right now and they're saying, I want to fight in the UFC one day, and I'm going to fucking go out there Monday morning, I'm going to find a gym, and I'm going to find an MMA gym, and I'm going to start, and no one's going to know who I am, and I'm going to learn all this, I'm going to be the fucking gym rat for a while, I'm going to get beat up, and I'm going to work my way up the ranks, my boxing is going to get better, and slowly but surely, now I'm getting respect of the people in the gym, and the years pass, and 18 months pass, and they're like, you know, you ever thought about taking a little amateur fight, and all the rest of it? Who fucking knows? They need people all the time, and in 2, 3, maybe 4, it might take a while, but you fucking might find yourself in the UFC one day. So, with respect, Lewis, your point is incorrect.
Well, my point's right, because I can look at it from my perspective, which is also I do comedy. And if you're doing comedy to become rich and famous, you're probably doing comedy for the wrong reason, because it takes a really long time to figure out whether or not you're going to be successful at this. And it takes a life commitment. And it's the same thing with martial arts. You're going to have to commit everything in your life in order to know whether or not you can make it. And it's going to probably be a pretty long time whether or not you know you're going to get to the absolute upper echelon.
All right. So if do you know how many people told me when I started on this? They said, if you're doing this for the money, Mike, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Everyone. And that was the only reason I was doing it.
You started martial arts for the money.
I started mixed martial arts for the money. Yeah, I was doing nothing. I had
already,
three kids.
You're already a world-class fighter.
That's my personal circumstances. And if this guy wants to do it and put the homework in, you know what I mean?
I'm not telling him not to. I'm doing a dumb fucking fight against Jason Ellis, so I think he should do it. I think it's the greatest thing in the world you could possibly do. Yeah. I'm just saying my expectation, if I was talking to my kid, and I do talk to my kid, and he does martial arts, it's not like, you're doing this to be a famous fighter one day. You're doing this to learn discipline. You're doing this to learn how to defend yourself. You're doing this to be healthy and fit. And then if you get good enough, which will take a really long time to figure that out, that could be something at the end of the light there. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'm crazy to say that. I don't think you should get into really any form of arts, whether it's martial arts or entertainment, acting, painting, music. If you're doing it for the money, I feel like you're jumping a whole bunch of steps in order.
No, to be good at that. Of course there is validity to what you're saying. Of course there is. You know, you want to do it for the love and the beauty of the sport. But what if you got a fucking family at home and you're fucking piss poor and you're piss broke and you know the head of the household can fucking fight. I was always looked over, but I've never lost a fight in my life and I've had plenty of fucking street fights. And I might be 32 years old and I've never done any formal training, but I've been a fucking scrapper my entire life and I've never been fucking beat. I'll tell you what, and I'm sorry, sweetheart. I'm sorry there was no kids at presents at Christmas, and I'm sorry that we got no car outside, and I'm sorry that every time the fucking bills come in that fucking we have an argument because we can't afford it, and I've got to tell you to buy the cheap shit when you go to the supermarket, and you can't get your hair done again this month because I can't afford it. Well, here's what I'm going to do. I might be 37 years old, but I'm going to hit the fucking gym Monday and I'm going to learn how to fight, and we're going to make some fucking money. If you are in that situation right now, fucking go for it, because the best you're going to do is the very least you're going to do is make yourself a better fucking person. And it is not impossible, Lewis. It is not impossible.
I didn't say, I did not
you
say
said,
it was impossible.
You said, if no, you're giving into the wrong money, it's the wrong reason it can't
never
be
said
done.
It's impossible. Never said it's impossible. We have it on tape.
Pretty sure.
Rewind the tape.
Yeah. Anyway, next question. We'll do one more because I got to get out of this seat. I'm in pain big time.
All right. This next guy is Lewis from Texas.
Good name. Strong name.
Strong enough to have by itself.
Sorry.
I'm going to fight you. You only have one knee.
Go
right
ahead.
Now.
Try. Go ahead. Try. You're trying to get it. Fucking Mr. Fucking. Shut the fuck up. I'm in comedy. You're in the regional circus of comedy. You're not even in the Bellator of comedy. Fucking hell, Lewis.
I'm at least in the Bellator of comedy, motherfucker.
No. You're in the regional circuits. Anyway, Lewis J. from Texas. Let's go.
Mike, Lewis from Texas here. Since you're getting surgery and you're not going to be doing much of anything, why don't we go ahead and set up that fight with Lewis and Brian so we got something to look forward to? I would appreciate that a lot. Thank you, guys. Fuck you, Lewis. I don't like sharing your name.
Ah! I love that guy, Lewis from Texas. The best Lewis we've had on this show ever. Lewis and Brian, is that what he said?
Yeah, remember Brian said he was going to spar me, but Brian's pussy-ass stomach is falling out of his belly button, so he's not ready for this right now.
He's very conveniently got injured, Lewis. The timing is very suspicious, Brian. I will say that. All of a sudden, you're talking a big game. You're saying you could beat Lewis, and now all of a sudden, you're injured. I mean, come on. What is going on, buddy?
You caught me. I'm terrified.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, we'll cut that one short. I know we had a couple more questions, but I got to get out of this seat. My leg is killing so bad. We'll cut this one short. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thank you, Harrington. Thank you, Brian. And thank you, Lewis, of course. Lewis, anything to sign off with?
No, Michael Bisping, feel better. We'll be back on Thursday with another great show, as always. Who do we got? Should we announce it? Sometimes
Stipe
they cancel.
Stipe Miocic, the heavyweight champion, fresh of his triumphant victory of the rubber match with Daniel Cormier. He'll be joining us on Thursday. Stipe is such a fucking great guy and a great guest for us as well. So thank you, Stipe, for that. In the meantime, be well and look after yourself.